Father in heaven, we quiet ourselves before you here again this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, Lord, you are the glory in Emmanuel's land, Father. And Lord, this morning, we don't look at your garments, Father. We look at you. And Lord, we bless and worship your holy name this morning. And I think of Peter. Oh, Lord, how he walked with you and talked with you. And he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Lord, I wonder what all went through his mind there in the Last Supper and there in the garden. What did it look like when Jesus came back and his garments were covered in blood because of the sweat drops? What was going through his mind? And Lord, then he left you down. Sometimes we leave you down too, Lord. God, I pray that we can be ever like Peter. If we leave you down, we can repent with bitter tears. Father, we can go out and weep bitterly. So, Lord, the grace of God can once again flow. And, Lord, we can go on. So we look back in through the scriptures, the ones even that were in the Hebrews 11, they weren't always perfect. They failed you sometimes, Lord, but God, their heart was to follow after you. And Lord, that's our heart this morning, Father. We want to follow you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not hold anything back. So, Father, we again commit our lives into your hands and pray that you would have your way. We need you again fresh and anew this morning, Lord. Father, we are leaning on you. We are looking away from ourselves and looking to the Lord God Almighty to have mercy upon us again this morning and feed your sheep. We're looking again to you this morning, Father, in our undoneness, to come and speak to our hearts and, Lord, again write your principles on our hearts. And, Father, through that be able to go on. Father, we pray that again we can mix the hearing of the word with faith. And Lord, we pray that you could let us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks for those words there, brother, and regarding Peter. One thing sure, I believe Peter, there in John 20, Jesus took him three times. And I believe those three times were remembering the three times he denied the Lord. So Jesus had to remind him three times that, "Are you going to serve me? Feed my sheep." And he was faithful. He was faithful to that calling. Because he says here, which you'll get to probably next week, feed the flock of God. So, thank you for that this morning. You've probably heard the story, but it touches me every time I think about it. There in Hershey, they have these games for special children, ones who aren't... they got their handicaps. They are on their wheelchairs, some of them, and some of them are crippled. So they have their handicaps. Here the other year, they had one of those races. A bunch of these handicapped people, and they're going out across the yard,
and they're all running as fast as they can, and one of them fell. What did all the rest of them do that were running? They all stopped. Come back, help the one up that fell. And they went together to the finish line. That's us here this morning, dear brothers and sisters. We have the glorious, blessed privilege of being in the body of Christ. We have the glorious, blessed privilege of being in a part of the blood-washed band. We have a blessed privilege of being able to be with the saints in the household of God, with Jesus Christ as the head. And what a beautiful thing this is. Zechariah 9:16 tells us, "And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land." Going beyond those wreaths, brother, we are going to be stones in his crown, and we're going to be as the flock of his people. And what a beautiful thing here this morning. Again, there's different places in the scripture where Jesus refers to his body as a flock and a sheep. And a beautiful thing. Most of the messages this week have been on individually and have been geared to our homes. But here this morning, it's going to be corporate. And we have the privilege of functioning together. And the Lord has some direction for us in that, to help each other and be an encouragement to each other for his glory and honor. The title of the message this morning is, "Will You Let Me Be Your Servant?" That's the heart that the Lord wants for each one of us. We're servants. We're first his servants, but then we're servants to one another. But then through that, we also have to let others serve us. And it's a two-way street here this morning. We talk about this subject with reverence and all because this is Jesus' body we're talking about. And it's something that's very special and very dear to his heart. What is a servant? A servant is a person who attends another for the purpose of performing tasks or being a blessing. Servants differ from a slave, as a servant's subjection to a master is voluntary, where a slave, he is pushed into being a slave, where a servant, we serve voluntarily because we have that blessed privilege. Every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave. Here this morning, because of what Jesus has done for us, our hearts reach out in gratitude. Our hearts reach out in blessing, and our hearts reach out to blessing and encouraging to our brothers and sisters. That's all why we need humility in this day which we're living in. Less of self and more of God. Which in turn gives God's heart, which is full of love, which in turn gives us another's heart, because love isn't love until you give it away. Which starts in the home, which goes to the church, and then goes out to the world, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And here this morning, God's heart is love. But if we heard on Wednesday night that he loves us, but if we're going to keep it, it's going to die out. And we have to be able to give it away. The other thing, I don't know, I've never seen this. I don't know if it's true or not, but this is what they tell me. The musk ox, if the wolves come, the older ones, they gather in a circle with their heads out and their backs towards each other. And they put all the little ones and the hurting ones inside. And this morning, also, that's a picture of the church. Where we can stand shoulder to shoulder, all the way around a circle. And if there are weak ones and younger ones, you put them in the middle, and the devil can't get at them to destroy them. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Burden this morning, I guess, too, would be with people having to stand up in their situations and find their way, and then how to be able to be a blessing and encouragement in a local body. It's something that's real, something that is some of us go through, and God wants us to be an encouragement and a blessing in His body. And even though, because of the drift and falling away that's among us in the world and in the, some of the churches, how to find our way through that and trying to be a blessing and yet trying to follow God and wondering what our part is. These things are real. It's not a takes many tears and prayer and crying out to God sometimes so we can find our way, because these things are real. And then sometimes we get converted and we weren't with a body where everyone is converted, and then we try and find our way, and we come out of these situations, and we're trying to follow the Lord, and then we make new friends and brothers and sisters, these things are real things. It's not a light thing. But God once has a body. He wants to bring us together and function together. And we have some blessed and glorious privileges for the people of God, for the blood-washed saint, we can go forward in. 1 Corinthians 1:1-10. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall conform you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same things, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And right there we'll stop. But what we want to see here this morning, unto the church which is at Corinth, he says. He don't say unto you individual Christians which are at Corinth. He says unto the church which is at Corinth, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So that's including us this morning. But notice here, every verse has something in about Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Number one, Jesus Christ. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, in verse 2. Name of our Lord Jesus, name of Jesus Christ our Lord, in verse 2. Verse 3, from the Lord Jesus Christ, grace which comes by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It's only getting better. It don't say Jesus Christ in 5, but it says we are enriched by Him. In all utterance and in all knowledge. And then he says, the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. The Lamb is all the glory. In Emmanuel's Lamb. Praise the Lord. waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says in 7. And then he'll confirm us unto the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he tells us, brethren, I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Jesus Christ, he's the one that saved us. He's the one that called us with a holy calling. But his will this morning is that we don't sit by ourselves and we don't enter in to the body. And I know I have much compassion, much patience for people to find their way. They have to. It's not an easy thing in these days which we're living in to know what God's will is, and where do we fellowship, and where do we blend, and where do we find God's will together. Those things are real things. And God, where if you're in one of those situations, the Lord bless you, give you wisdom, understanding, and lead you into a body where you can be an encouragement. We say we love Jesus and we say we want to serve him. The best way is in the body. Turn with me in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Well, what a beautiful thing here this morning. Each one individually being able to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus, being able to be washed in his blood individually, but then being able to be part of the church, to be part of the body. And here we have it in Colossians 1, verse, well, this is a long, actually, this is a long sentence, probably one of the longest sentences in the Bible, I think. So we want the context here, and the verse we want is 18, but we instead of starting at 17, the verse starts all the way at verse 9. Look at that. 9, here we go. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Praise the Lord. Beautiful. Notice the word you. And he prays for them. You. Individually, you might be filled with the knowledge of his wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, and that you would be strengthened with all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And then he says, he's giving thanks because we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And he created all things. Now we get to verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And it goes on and continues on there, but the verse we wanted is, he is the head of the body, the church. A beautiful thing. A beautiful blessing for us individually that we have, or can it be able to be part of the church. We can be able to be part of the body, and Christ is the head. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious in verse 3, verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, is Christ Jesus precious to you? That's what he wants to be, that he is precious to you. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Ye also, as lively stones, individually, each one of us are living stones, build up a spiritual house. So we see here that we cannot be a stone by ourselves out in a field somewhere. But we are all lively stones, and the Lord brings us together, and he wants to form and fit us. Fit these stones into a beautiful house. And holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Or that word confounded means to make to blush. And here this morning, in this spiritual house, where we are all lively stones, we have the chief cornerstone. His name is Jesus Christ, and that's where we're lining this stone, these little stones, up to make this spiritual house. And where you are building, try and make the walls, let the Lord make you so that he can make the walls straight and not be crooked. And unto you therefore which believe, he is precious again. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So, don't stumble at the word. Or Jesus will be a rock of offense to you if you are disobedient. Stone of stumbling. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, yes, we were not a people. When we were walking in our trespasses and sin, we were not a people. But today, we are now the people of God. We have obtained mercy. So may the Lord continue to be the head. May he continue to be the chief cornerstone. And may we find our place in the spiritual house. May we find our place in the people of God. May we find our place in the chosen generation. May we find our place in the royal priesthood. May we find our place in the holy nation. May we find our place and then be able to shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, we find our way. We have these burdens. We have these concerns. We're not sure what God is saying. And the Lord gives grace for those times. But that's not his heart. True praise, true giving glory to Jesus, you do it together with a body. In a state of humility and brokenness, it's not about me. But it's how can I take the low road and be Christ's servant and be a benefit to the body of Christ and not a detriment. Here are some attitudes that will help this fitting together go a long way. Go to Nehemiah 12. Verse 43. And we were hearing about that. Our hearts are burdened that Christianity can be perpetual and continue on. That as fathers would take our role, we would know how to discern what the world is. And that we would be strong family units. But now also God wants strong churches. And we have this blessed privilege here this morning that we can do this with our families. in verse 43. Same as it was there in Nehemiah's day. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God then had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the door of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Praise the Lord. You're rejoicing together with your wives and your children. May that rejoicing be heard afar off from Burn, Indiana. You have the beautiful opportunity of keeping your hearts right individually, but then coming together as a body with your families and rejoicing in God, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Think if it would have just been Nehemiah, do you think that joy would have been heard afar off? No. But the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Families together. Turn with me to Luke 10, verse 36. Actually, verse 30. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. When he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves. He said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. As we help one another, as we reach out to one another, as we serve one another, we have the heart of the Good Samaritan. A heart of compassion. A heart of gentleness. A heart of trying to help. To push, move along, and that we can all go to the finish line together. Turn to Acts 20. We have this glorious opportunity to serve one another, and it's a beautiful thing. Thankful even this morning that some of our own have come out from Lancaster to even be a support and encouragement this morning. Thank you, brothers, for that. Encourages our hearts. Acts 20, verse 19 says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. We serve one another, dear brothers and sisters, with humility of mind. With many tears and temptations. We have the blessed opportunity, the Bible says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And the Lord have mercy on the church today. Men hardly know how to weep anymore. Know hardly how to let situations touch their hearts. And move them to a place of not just emotions, but that their being is touched. And it brings them to tears. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. And that's how he served the people at Ephesus. That's how he did it. And we continue on there. And he gives them direction on how to go when he leaves. And we'll never see them again. 1 Thessalonians 2. Here's Paul's testimony to the Thessalonians. And it can be our testimony to one another. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Verse 6. Actually, verse 5. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as we know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. When we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. We were gentle as a nurse cherishes her children. We were affectionately desirous of each one. And because of that, we were willing to have imparted unto us not only the gospel of God, but I'm ready to pour out my life for you. Because you are affectionate to me, and you are dear. And that's how Paul went, and as he served, he wasn't looking for glory. He wasn't looking for the praise of men. No, it was out of a heart of love, out of a heart of compassion, out of a heart of cherishing them, out of a heart of being affectionately desirous. And even though sometimes we get busy, that happens. That's right and good sometimes. But don't let it consume you, because you have a responsibility one to another right here in Bern, Indiana. Now, turn with me to John 13. John 13, another glimpse here of Peter, as he was a partaker of the sufferings of, seeing the sufferings of Christ. John 13, good impulsive Peter here that come to the Lord and had those sharp edges of his stone rubbed off and fit into the building of God in a beautiful way. John 13, verse 4. Jesus here at the Last Supper, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. But he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Impulsive Peter. We talked last night about reaction. You can see reaction all over Peter, but he met Jesus there at he got filled with the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, and through that he was able to slow down here and listen. Listen to the voice of the shepherd. If he'd have been probably when they came and was trying to open the doors into the Gentiles, Peter was able to listen. If he wouldn't have met the Lord, I wonder if he could have heard. I wonder if he wouldn't have still been the same impulsive fellow he is right here. But the lesson that we get out of this little chapter, this little portion of scripture is, Jesus said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And to serve, you must be willing to be served. Peter here, he said, You don't have to wash my feet, Lord. Why do you have to wash my feet? Well, if I don't wash your feet, you ain't going to have no part in this thing. Oh, yes, Peter. Peter said, Then I want to be a part of this thing. Wash me. Everything. Feet, hands, head. No, that's not what you need. The thing is, the heart needs to be reciprocating. The heart needs to be able to, I want to serve. I want to wash other people's feet, but I want to let them wash me. I want them to wash my feet as well. I want to be able to let them have the blessing as well. And we need that heart. We need that heart to in serving, that others can serve us. We can get to serve them, and we can go together forward. And thanks to each one this week for washing our feet. Literally, that one day we were at someone's place, and I was holding the boy, my little boy, and put our shoes on, and we couldn't tie them. One of the brothers tied our shoes. I was so blessed. I thought of this verses right there. They didn't wash them, but they, and thank yous for washing our feet this week. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we read this verse here the other night, Friday night, when we were talking about liberty. And it tells us here, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And praise the Lord. That's why we've been delivered again. That's why we've been set free. So we are able to serve. So we're able to open our hearts up and serve one another. And may we be able to do that and not be like it tells us in 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Instead, by love, we're supposed to serve one another and not bite and devour and consume one another. And then we go down to verse 26. Tells us, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. That we are not going for vainglory. That we're not lifting up ourselves. That we're not envying one another or provoking one another. Had a think here this morning. One way of provoking one another is when we do make decisions and we don't follow them. That definitely provokes the body. It definitely does. And here we have the thing of, I love serving one another, and instead of being biting and devouring and consuming and provoking, we by love serve. Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. A couple pages over. Jesus' testimony in serving was, in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's some like that. I know there's no reputation, but they love to serve. And they're back there just every time there's something to do, they're serving away. And there's no reputation. And they took upon them the form of a servant. And they're made in the likeness of men. They blend in with the brotherhood and humble themselves. And sometimes when the going gets tough, Jesus here, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And tonight we're going to find out we must embrace the cross for these things to work. And sometimes we override, we get the things that our flesh, we think we're stretched out, we can't go no more. But we die to our flesh, and we serve one more time. And then we can have a time of rest, but in that time we were a servant. And we followed through in a beautiful way. Go over one chapter. I know the same chapter, just down a couple verses. Verse 20. Timothy. Timothy's testimony. Every time I read it, it challenges me to the core. Verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. He didn't seek his own. He sought the things which were Jesus Christ. And that's the heart of a servant. That is the heart of a servant. Timothy, he wouldn't seek his own. He was caring for their state, and still he was like-minded with Paul right in there. And a proof of him, as a son with the Father, he served. And he served, and he was ready to send Timothy to the Philippian church. And what a beautiful thing. But that's Paul's testimony of serving. Again, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. I think we get this thing a little... Hinnish Faddish. Do you know what Hinnish Faddish down here is? A little backward. Hinnish Faddish, that means sort of like the cart before the horse. or you got your back before the first, or something like that, I think is what it means. But 1 Corinthians 9, he tells us here, people, they think they're free. So we go into every place we go and changing, constantly changing. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And here today, that was Paul's heart. He was free, but he was willing to be a servant. And I, let's see, I just heard something. The Arabians, when the fellas, when they left the shores of America, two fellas, they were going. And from the shore they called and said, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward for its offering. They were going to an island somewhere. And the story is that they were going to sell themselves as slaves to win those people. I found out this week, 2 weeks ago, that's got a little stretched. There's actually a grave for the one fellow that went. He had come back. He was in his graves in Bethlehem. But their heart, that was their heart. It didn't happen. But when they did leave, that was their heart. They might never see the people again on the shore. They were going to this island, and if it took being a slave, they were going to be it so they could win the people. And that's the heart. That we could be a servant to all. Under the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, with a parenthesis. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. And there is a warning for us, I believe. This contextualization in missions, just be very careful. To go and say we're winning those without the law, we're still under the law to God. Under the law to Christ, just be very careful that be very careful that you're not bringing the, let me say this right. Be very careful that you're not bringing the Bible down to the culture level, but you're bringing the culture up to the Bible. That's all I'll say. In this thing of being free and being a servant, just be careful. And I have a great concern for that these days. I think people have got that thing a little backwards. And instead of the Bible being what it's supposed to be, they're bringing that thing down to the culture level. And it's not going to change your culture versus bringing the culture up to the Bible. So just be careful in that. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You have the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, that's where some people want to stop. That the Bible don't stop there. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We need a unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, but we also need a unity of the faith in verse 13. And that, again, is what we believe is what we as a body believe God is saying that is truth to us, and we walk forward in that, and we are not tossed to and fro like we talked about the other night, being a four square ball in a game, but we are able to be brought to rest and not be carried about with every wind of doctrine, which there's plenty of those things flying around today. Slayed of men and cunning craftiness, but we're able to be looking to the head, speaking the truth in love, looking to the head, and then being fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and then the body makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The Lord wants to perfect us, it tells us in verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, he has some gifts there, and I'll probably not go into that too much here this morning. I'll have a little bit to say about it shortly. But it tells us here, verse 16, for from whom the whole body fitly joined together, joined. Aye. Well, we'll find, just here, let's keep going. Compacted by that which we're all important. Everyone that is a Christian, you are important. God needs you in the body. And you are important. Take your place in seeking the Lord in prayer. Take your place in not being a hitchhiker or being sitting on the bench and not entering in. We are all important. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Not one is left out. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Then he goes on. For the body is not one member but many. Verse 14. And he goes on. But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And then he talked again about the body. And verse 23, those members of a body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and then he goes on. We have the same care one for another. That's God's heart. That we have the same care one for another. And these people that say, I'm a member, I'm a part of the body of Christ worldwide, and they are against membership, I can't figure it out. What is a member but a membership? I mean, if you're a member, well, then in the body, that's membership. I don't get it. And there we read in Ephesians 4, we're joined together. No commitment to a local body. I don't understand. Not when I read the scriptures, it don't make sense to me. Because I believe from reading the scriptures, and I could go through Acts, no man durst join himself to them, the Bible says. And it says it a couple more places. How to not be a part of a local body, I don't understand it. Now, we have this glorious privilege, dear ones. Turn with me in your Bibles to Malachi 3:16. Just some Beatitudes there. Now we have these blessings. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Praise the Lord. Is that happening in this fellowship? Is that happening in this body? Those that fear the Lord spake often to one another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and they thought upon his name. Dear brothers and sisters, there's enough of social clubs in the United States of America. We want to go beyond social club. We want to go there. You can go. There's Masons. There's just no end to social clubs. But here in the body, we should be able to go deeper than a social club. And I know it is you're making yourself vulnerable. You open your heart and there's the potential to get hurt. That is real. I understand that. You open your heart, you're vulnerable. But dear ones, the Lord wants, in this thing of being able to talk to one another, we have the blessed privilege of being able to be accountable and help one another onto victory. To be able to, if there's a besetting sin, that we can open our hearts and be free. And if we share, if we're humble. I remember when I got converted, I was scared that nobody would know what for sins I had in here. But I remember when I got converted and I opened my heart and confessed, I didn't care who found out. I was dead in the Lord. And fine, whoever finds it out, so what? That's all right. If they're going to talk about me, fine. I'm free. That's up to them and the Lord. I can talk about them down on my knees. But here we have this blessed privilege of having accountability, where we can minister one to another. And the Bible tells us in James 5, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Stay out of the plastic mindset of church. Stay out of that. Be real. Be honest. This is who I am. I need you to pray for me. And here today, back in the old days, they didn't have this thing. But today we have this thing called a phone. Use it. Don't use it to gossip. Use it to encourage one another. Use it to call a brother and bless him. And encourage him. Don't use it to gossip. You have that blessed privilege. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't take the attitude of Cain. Back there in chapter 3 when God come to Cain. Hey, where's Cain? Where's your brother Abel? Cain? Where is he? In verse 9. Cain said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Don't take that attitude. You are your brother's keeper. You are responsible for your brother. And take that to heart. Because we want to. We have this blessed privilege. Turn to Galatians 6, verse 2. Blessed privileges for the people of God. Blessed opportunities. Instead of all the hurts and the pain. Verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, the Bible says. And there's a balance there. Tells us in verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. So what that means is, in Proverbs it tells us, don't go so often to your neighbor's house that it gets weary of you. Now, that is a reality. But you do have the privilege to be able to bear one another's burdens. And that is hard too. Not just if they have a baby, you take meals, or if they have a roof to put on or something. You can do that too, but you bear. You carry on your shoulders the burden of your brother and the concern. And you open yourselves up. We're a family. Church should not be a place. We have too many of these. And if where you can coexist and nobody knows what's going on in here. There's way too many churches like that. And in the Lord's heart is that we're a whole lot closer than just coexisting, and nobody knows what's going on in our private lives. Romans 12, 9 and 10. We've got to keep moving here. Romans chapter 12, 9 and 10. Let not be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Praise the Lord for that. Then turn with me to Ephesians 5:21. We got to just keep right on rolling here. Ephesians 5:21. If you're not part of a body, you can't fulfill these commands. You can't fulfill these blessings. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We have that privilege. We have that glorious opportunity. 1 Peter 5. Submitting, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Elder, ye all of you, be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So we have that present privilege that we can't do. John 15. There'd be a whole message just on this. We heard on Wednesday night that God loves us. Now we turn around and love others the same way. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Verse 17. And again, let's just go right into Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 14. We love one another. We lay down our lives for brothers and sisters. Romans 15, verse 14. Verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And I know in a body there's concern seeing sometimes. And if you're all going to wait on a preacher or go to the preacher to share concerns, that's not God's heart. But we lay down our lives for our friends. And sometimes we don't want to go, but we do. We lay down our life. And we find the grace from God to have a broken heart and a redemptive attitude, and have prayed much, and then able to admonish one another. God's heart is that we can do that. Even in the encouragement, we get the blessing of encouraging and comforting, but we also admonish, and we edify. Hebrews 10, verse 24. But if we're proud and have stony hearts, these things don't work too good. Hebrews 10, verse 23-24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then also it tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhortation, edifying, provoking one another to love and good works. As we submit one to another and love one another, we have these blessed opportunities. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 18. Talks there about the hope of heaven in the beginning and the previous verses. But here in verse 18 it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Talk of heaven. Think about those things and then comfort one another with these words. Just a little, stick a little thing in here. 2 Corinthians 13:12. And this is different places in the farewell salutations. But here in 2 Corinthians 12, here it tells us to greet one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of the body. Don't let it fall by the wayside. And I know in the young people that is a tendency. And I know there are places that it's fallen in the streets. And only the preachers greet one another. And some places it's not even that anymore. And don't just go to a hug and the greeting, the holy kiss is missing. All the brethren greet you in 1 Corinthians 16. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. Just continue to keep that in your midst, dear ones. Marks of a true servant. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Marks of a true servant. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A mark of a true servant, diffusers. What I mean by that, you're in a situation where this thing is ready to blow. The fuse is lit. That old fuse is just coming right down, right to the dynamite, where this thing's just ready to... Phew. A mark of a true servant. Blessed are the peacemakers. Someone that's able to come in there and bring peace. Paul, to the two ladies here in Philippians. Same thing. He said, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. A bomb diffuser. Bring this thing and put out the spark. Things are real. We have brothers' meetings. We share. What do? I think the thing to do is share. Not to get your own way, but you have a heart of humility. And God can't blend and mesh if people aren't truthful. We have to be honest and share this is what where we're at. And then I've seen it different times where one fella thought this way and another fella thought this way. But they were one in the heart of God. And they both shared. And when they were done, that night there was not unity. But they committed it to the Lord in prayer. And they cried out in their commitment to love one another. Was real and strong. And when they shared and got that thing out in the open, how God was able in the next couple of weeks to do a blending and bring a result and a rest to that situation. A beautiful thing. So keep sharing. Keep being real. Keep the Bible in discussion. Balancing truth with truth. And sometimes that is where the gifts come in. And we must be willing to go the second mile. And also have the golden rule ingrained in our hearts. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We have this beautiful blessing. And we get into these situations. I'll just go over this very quickly here. God uses people to increase our sensitivity. Develop inward qualities that we'll need, that will be of value to God in serving or expanding our world opportunity. If we respond right, we achieve God's highest purpose in us. If we respond wrongly or retreat from what God has brought into our life, He has to raise up another situation so we learn a lesson. We can have wrong responses in these times. Again, last night we had talked about if someone needs to help us in our family. Well, if someone comes to us in the brotherhood, we can have wrong responses. Again, blame others, defend ourselves, hold them in anger, or drop them from our lives. Or we can have a right response where we look to the Lord, thank God for the situation, and ask God, what does He want to change in me? And then also we can ask the question, did I cause this? Is it my deficiency or character or attitude that I have that has caused this breach or this schism? Is it something in me that God wants to work out? And also, what is God's objective for me? Because He tells us in Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, verse 14, 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. God hath called brothers in the body to have a responsibility that others do not have. And we had then a thing on fathers to be not rebellious, to not be in be under authority. Here are some verses. I read some there in Hebrews. I won't read them. I only read these verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 11. Comfort yourselves together. We had that word already here this morning. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another. We had that word already this morning too. Even as also ye do. Now he tells them, and we beseech you, brethren. Not brother, brethren. The body. The congregation. To know them. Know their heart. Know the ones which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. God has placed some, not that they are higher, this in the hierarchy, but definitely they do have responsibility that others do not have. And that responsibility is to labor and be over and admonish. And that is true. So make it easy. Make it easy for them. Know them. You get to know them. What is your heart? What do you think on this situation? Where do you think? What do you think we should do? Don't have them always coming to you and having to give you that guidance and direction. The same way as the children turn their hearts to the fathers. You turn your hearts to your ministry. Same way. And then you can, here's my heart. I want to be here. I need your direction. What do you think on any given on these situations? Instead of being, oh, we got these problems. Yeah, well, fine. We're just going to wing it ourselves and whatever. No, you want to know them. Don't put everything on them. And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Disgruntled sheep is not esteeming the ministry highly. And if there's no peace in the sheep, you can't esteem them highly in love. Be at peace among yourselves is one of the greatest keys to making the workload and the responsibility of your elders and ministry light. Walk in that. Just some attitudes and wrong spirits and attitudes here at the end that can more brotherhood. Number one, we had it a little bit last night and when we were who we hold up before our children. But this morning, dear ones, Calvinistic doctrine. Be very careful on that thing because it is serious. I was just looking this morning and in church, just in church, in the computer program that I have, there's nothing about submitting. There's nothing about having a strong commitment. It's more on we get together and it's like judges' time, where everyone does what's right in their own eyes. And then this morning, there's a whole lot more in Scripture than that, dear friend. There's a whole lot more in Scripture than that. That Calvinistic doctrine brings that thing of doing what's right in my own eyes and having no need for my brother. And we have this strong thing this way, but nothing that strong this way. Be very careful. Which brings right into also an independent spirit. I guess I'm really concerned with that these days too. The independent spirit you see in many people. You can't touch me. As soon as I just had some brothers come to me these last couple nights, said the thing. They said, you can't touch nobody. As soon as you go, want to share with somebody, boom, legalism. Right away they go there. Independent spirit. It's not of God. We have to be able to have a commitment to one another that's higher than that. And being disloyal one to another. We have to have a spirit of blending and submitting and being able to edify and encourage one another by all means. Another one. Having a condemning spirit where we're constantly just, the spirit that comes forth from us is condemning. It's not a spirit of growth and encouragement. And I myself have to work on these myself. If you get cold, these things crop up very easily. Instead of being gracious. Sure, not being a wishy-washy, but also being able to be gracious. Now, the other thing that can happen is we have a resistant spirit. And that is every time, especially in young people, you resist. There's no being able to blend, no warmth, no being able to have a heart that's open, that people can come. We resist. And I heard a testimony even this week. An ungrateful spirit. Heard a testimony this week of somebody that was helped. They were blessed. They were helped in their Christian life. They got on the phone and called back and said thank you. That don't happen much these days. A thankful attitude. I'm thankful for you, brother. I love you. I'm thankful for what you're doing with me. I'm thankful for your blessing and your encouragement in my life. Thankfulness. An ungrateful spirit comes out of pride. And then we can have that bitter spirit which comes out of selfishness. I want my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. So what others think, or this is the consensus of the body, I'm still going to be selfish and I'm going to be bitter. And then here's some blessings where how we can view people and make this a warm, loving, encouraging place where people can grow. You know, we can have it that same as a greenhouse. You put the seed, brother. You put that out in the field, and it might be May, and it's still cold, and there's going to be storms coming and clouds, and where north wind's going to blow. That seed out there in the field in May is not going to grow as good as a seed you planted in February in a greenhouse. And you can put, make it that it can be a greenhouse effect. And make it that it can be a blessing. View your brothers and sisters as a gift from God. View them as special in God's sight. View them as special that God has a plan for them. And thank the Lord for them. And then you look at them as seeing that they have potential and purpose and worth in God's sight. And then also you can say to yourself, what can I learn from them? I'm not on an island here by myself. Keep your heart open. They're speaking. Yes, I can learn something. I pick something out of there that is going to help me in my Christian life. And then we can say, how can we be an encouragement that they can reach their full potential in Christ? They're here not to just take up, be a spot on a bump or a log somewhere. No, God has a potential and a plan for them. And we can be able to open our hearts and say, how can I be not a hindrance, but an encouragement and a blessing? Where's that song? I'm sorry. I just took you too long. But this song says, will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other. Walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you. Speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony, born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony. I must say, in these last days here, watching Kingdom of God and things, what a blessing. What a glorious opportunity. We get into these situations where we are hurt and we lose a loved one, or we have this need for support. And I've seen it. People that were all alone, they don't heal near as fast as ones that's in a body. So may we be able to have a commitment, strong one for another, and be able to have a commitment of love and encouragement to help one another along, and to not be a stickler in the body, but be able to be a blender and one that can get in there and pull the load and be a servant and let others serve me as well. Shall we kneel for prayer? Father in heaven, we come pause here again before you at the close of this service. Thank you, Lord, for brothers and sisters. So my mind goes back over the ones that are at home. Praise the Lord. Thank you for each one of them, Lord, and the blessing they mean to us and what they do to be an encouragement and a support and a comfort and a guiding light some days. And Father, we thank you for them. And Father, I pray that you would blow on the relationships here. Blow on all our relationships, Father, that we can help one another. Yes, Father, I know there are times where there's not a same vision. There's not a same goal. And Lord, there has to be a parting. We understand those things, Father, in this day and age. But Lord, we pray that we can stay humble. We can have the keep Christ Jesus our Lord in the center of it all. We can have a deep love for Him. And Father, through that, Lord, have a compassion and a concern for His body. Have a compassion and a concern, Lord, for one another. And Lord, that we're here to help each other grow and be conformed into the image of Jesus. And again, Father, we realize that the work of changing people, that's not our work. We can share, but Lord, we have to live in love, and the Holy Spirit has to do His work. Father, we pray that we can be gracious and patient in situations like that. And Father, we pray that our love would yet abound more and more unto the coming of the Lord. And we pray that as we raise children and Christianity goes on and on and on, we pray, Lord, that there can be places, Father, churches, bodies of people where they can fulfill their calling in Christ Jesus, their potential to serve the Lord. They can fulfill that. And Father, they can find their place then. Father, we pray that you would guide and keep us. Lord, we need each other, especially like in the thing of Friday night with Finish with the World. We need each other to guide one another through that, Lord. And there's sometimes where we need the brotherhood. If we just say it's all up to each man's own thinking and there's no unity, no like-mindedness, Father, that's not what you want either. But Lord, you want us to be able to see things, find out what your will is, and then, Father, bring them to rest and go forward. Lord, we pray also that we can be a place where it can be a soul-saving station. A place, Father, where needs can be met. A place, Father, where it can be safe to open your heart. A place, Father, where people are able to find healing and find comfort. And I know, Lord, it puts a carefulness on our steps these days, because some that were once with us are not, and things like that, and then to the hurts and things, Father, it's sobering. It puts a cautiousness, Lord, and a quietness over our hearts, and a carefulness, Father. Help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, we pray. Help us, God, to be circumspect. And Lord, help us, Father, to... we also pray that you would be with the brothers here, that they wouldn't tie the hands of the leaders. And Father, make it that they can't even move. But Lord, that they can be able to go forward in the fear of God and fulfill their responsibilities. Oh Lord, we pray for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we only touched the tip of the iceberg this morning. There's so much more. But Lord, we commit it all into your hands and into your care and keeping, and pray that your blessing would be upon us as we go from here, even your blessing
rest upon the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.